Hey everybody, Adam Stott here. Thanks for checking out my podcast, Business Growth Secrets. You're absolutely in the right place. This podcast is going to reveal to you all of the secrets that you've been looking to discover that are going to allow you to cure your cash flow problems, attain more clients, bring in more leads for your business, and create systems and processes that give you the growth that you want. You are going to discover the business growth secrets you have been looking for that I've used to sell over £50 million worth of products and services on social media and help clients everywhere to grow their businesses on demand. So let's get started on the Business Growth Secrets podcast.
Well, we had these wonderful ads lined up. We'll have to describe them, but there was one particular ad that many years ago, I remember seeing this ad online of John talking to two other Johns. And I don't know if you've seen this, and if you haven't, we'll figure out this tech issue, and before the end of the day, I'll play it for you. But you create this wonderful ad where there was you hosting two other Johns. One of them was a negative person that hadn't used...
Danny the Dabbler, we called him.
It was called Danny the Dabbler. And then you had Richard the Rich, didn't you? Was that right?
Yeah, Richie Rich or something like that.
Richie Rich. And Danny the Dabbler was... all of the problems and all of the issues that were happening with people that do their marketing. And Richie the Rich was the person taking action, getting the results. And I remember watching that ad and just thinking that is an outstanding ad. And that was what actually where I first saw you on YouTube. This was before we knew each other, before we'd spent any time together. And I thought that was an amazing ad. But look, welcome to Gold Circle. Obviously, you've done some webinars and stuff with me. So some of the people you've met before, it's awesome to get you here in person. And I want to dig a bit into the journey. You've been now in marketing, products and services online. How long?
Yeah, probably 10, 11 years now.
10, 11 years, yeah. And what age did you start out at?
Well, I started out at about 18, but that wasn't doing what I'm doing right now. That was just trying to start some kind of business and dabbling on eBay and selling all sorts of weird and wacky stuff. And then everything evolved from there. But yeah, long time.
Yeah, 10, 11 years. So what got you into this? You're now obviously running webinars, you've done £25 million in online sales. You won multiple different marketing awards, including your 2, Club, your 2, Club X. So you've done very, very successful. How did you get into all this? What happened, John? Let's get a bit of the background. How do we get on this journey, mate?
Yeah, so... I don't know how far back you want me to go. I mean, when I left school, I wanted to start a business. I wanted to do something other than just going and landing a job. I liked the idea of that. I didn't understand why as a kid you're kind of just told what to do and you have to just be in, oh, hello, nice to see you. we go way back. I wanted to be in control of what I wanted to do. So when I left school and I'm talking to the career advisor and they're saying, well, what do you want to do? I was thinking, well, I like cooking, so maybe I'll start a restaurant. And that was my plan. So I went into catering and did 2 years of that just to see if I could get in that route and realized, well, 16, 17, going to the bank for $100,000 to open a restaurant, probably not going to be successful. So quickly squashed that. But while I was working as a chef, it's the same stuff I'm sure you've all done, right? Late nights trying to figure out this marketing, business, entrepreneurial stuff. So I'd come home from a shift, get home at midnight, spend 2-3 hours till 3 a.m. just trying to get this business thing going, and then cycle continues until eventually you have some kind of breakthrough, don't you? You have that moment where you're like, oh, I found something that works. Let's see if I can do more of that. And for me, that was buying and selling stuff on eBay at the time. And then I wanted to figure out how I could grow my eBay business. And I found a chap online who had an online course and he would teach you how to grow your eBay business. So I bought that, went through it. And the penny dropped when at the end of the course, he said, if you've enjoyed this program, then here's an affiliate link that's coded to you. And if you refer this to anyone else, I'll give you a commission. I looked at the commission, it was 75%. It's like, what in the world? I'm selling weird baby slings and all sorts of funky stuff on eBay for 10% profit. And I've got to go to the post office every day. It's like this digital product will pay me 75%. So that opened me up to the world of affiliate marketing. Long story short, got pretty good at that actually. You know, this idea.
And that's a hard thing to get good at. Like affiliate marketing is not easy. Mm. So how did you get good at it? What was your sort of...
Well, you find someone with a problem and you've got a solution and you pair them up. It's marketing, right? That's what it is. You have to get in front of someone that has a problem and figure out how to use your communication to persuade them that you have the solution and point them there, you know? So that was the piece that I got quite good at. I figured out some ways to get in front of traffic. It's a really important way of viewing traffic. I'm sure we can dive into that, but you want to find where the right people are and put yourself in front of them, like a river flowing a certain direction. Let's just plonk ourselves there. Let's not be the one chasing traffic. Let's create a scenario where we become attractive to them and we're the obvious choice. But that was a bit premature in the conversation. We'll come back to that. So I got really good at that, finding the right place to position myself and get traffic, saying and doing the right things to point them to a solution. And then that's when I started to really find the passion. You know, I enjoy this. I enjoy marketing. I enjoy communication. And that's developed into enjoying sales and getting quite good at that. And then my first ever online course was a program called Tube Traffic Mastery. I don't suppose any of you will remember that name. This was a very long time ago, young spotty kid producing videos out of my mum's study. And put this, because I was still getting things moving at that point.
But and how old were you at that point?
Oh, that was probably when I was about 18. Because when I said 18, I meant that was when I, probably about 19 is when I created that course, 19 or 20. And I was making about 10 grand a month with this affiliate marketing stuff. And I thought, well, maybe I could teach people how to do what I was doing. So I put a course together and then that course did a million. And I was like, well, this is pretty darn cool. When I'm making more money selling courses than I am the affiliate marketing. And so on
that when you created that course, John, when you created that course, you're 18, 19 years old. Did you have some doubts? Did you have some fears? Did you say to yourself, oh, I don't know if I can do this. I'm too young to do this. What kind of excuses and how did you handle those excuses when they come up? What was your method for moving past the issues or fears? Or did you not have the fears? How do you classify it yourself?
No, definitely had those fears. If I'm very vulnerable, I remember moments crying on the kitchen floor because something that started working suddenly stopped working and I thought my world had fallen apart. I specifically remember one of those moments. And that was when because the strategy that I was using with affiliate marketing was YouTube. And I would start a YouTube channel and then I'd put videos up there that target certain keywords and then that flow of traffic would come in. And so I built up this channel and that was producing all the income. And then one day my channel was taken down. I don't suppose anyone's been on YouTube long enough to remember the old flag button. Anyone remember the flag button?
Yeah.
Only a few of us. Oh my word. Okay. There was a little button you could press on any video to just flag it to say, I don't like that. And it was so easy for users to do that. Well, the black hat guys were using that, or your competition, let's say, were using that to get your videos taken down. Because quite simply back then, YouTube would want to make sure the community's happy. So if a video gets enough flags, they would just automatically take the video down. They'd say the community's not liking it. So all your competitors would just flag the videos at the top, even buy fake accounts to just flag these videos and competition gets taken down. So that happened to me. And I remember literally logging into my account one day and seeing zero. And I was like, what in the world has happened? And the next day, zero, zero, zero. I was thinking, gosh, what in the world? So I thought everything had fallen apart. Because back then, and it's interesting, isn't it? When we unlock, this sounds so, I never used to think like this, but when we unlock new levels of success or new levels of the way we think, you look back on a past version of yourself and you're like, oh, why was I worried about that? You know, you just simply up level. So looking back now, of course I could solve past John's problems in 2 minutes. But back then it just felt like my whole world was falling apart. I thought YouTube was the only thing I knew. I thought I was one dimensional, you know? But I'm just very resilient. I don't back down. I'm very competitive. I like a challenge. And so I just pick myself back up. I look at it is I'm like, well, what's the alternative? If I'm trying to build this thing and it's currently not going to plan or something has significantly interrupted it, I quite simply just have to pick my hard. My hard is going to be, let's get back in the game and try to make this work. Or I have another hard, which is going to work for someone else and do things that I don't enjoy and not fulfilled and have no control of my income. So I'm just picking my hard. So I've always just defaulted to the one that gives me the freedom that I wanted.
Nice. Pretty logical, right? So what happens next then? You're doing this affiliate marketing. You have your ups and downs. You want to create your own course. You launch your first course. How did you launch your first course? What happened? How did you actually launch it?
Right. I tried the strategy that I was using, finding keywords, and I realized that I wasn't getting proof of concept quick enough. When you're selling a course or something like that, you can't, and it was higher ticket as well, don't forget. The affiliate stuff I was promoting is low ticket. So your commission's $20, $30, $40. I was selling lower ticket affiliate courses. So then when I launched my program, I put myself at $500, which, by the way, I was freaking out about. I genuinely had such a limiting mindset. I thought, who's going to pay this young knucklehead who's just floating around on the internet with these terrible videos? I'm going to ask another question. Anyone remember a camera called a Kodak ZI-8 with a little USB that flipped out the bottom? Anyone remember that camera? Okay, thank you for your honesty. Yeah, these old, grainy, pixelated videos, and I used to put those up. I can't believe anyone actually listened to me and bought something upon my recommendation. So when I put it at 500, I'm thinking, no one's going to pay this. You know, what in the world's going on? And I was trying my strategy with keyword traffic, and I just wasn't getting enough flow to get proof of concept. It's not easy. It's also not hard if you know the right things to do, but it's not easy to put together a really good marketing message attached to a fantastic offer and match that up just right and have the right value proposition. Because if you're going to sell something like that, and you all fall into this category, if you want to effectively sell something, you've got to provide a bit of value up front. But that value's got to be positioned just right. Because if you overgive before the ask for the sale, they won't buy because you've given them enough to, you know, have a stab at. But if you don't give enough, then not enough trust has been built or demonstrating that you can do what you do. I've got a framework for that. We can get to that in a minute if you want. Mm. So you need enough traffic to see, is this puzzle that I've put together here enough, or have I got to replace some of the pieces? And so what I actually did, getting to your question, is I launched a webinar. Because with a webinar, you can get people in a captive environment where you can do everything in one go. How many of you were on the webinar with me that Adam mentioned that he promoted out? Awesome. Well, thanks for coming. I appreciate that. So it's exactly like that, but those webinars can be automated as well. The one we did was live. We were truly there, weren't we, Adam?
You were.
No, I'm joking. We both were. Yes. On the line with us. But yeah, so when you have a webinar like that and you can invite people to come on the line at the same time, there's already a bit of a buzz, right? And then you can provide value and get it just right, and then you can present an offer. And when you present an offer to a captive audience all in the same moment, there is an increased sense of urgency to make a decision now. So everything just gets done in one go. You attract the right person, they're on the line, you provide value, you make an offer and they buy, and it can all be done in that one transaction of time with you. So it was a webinar, and that webinar, yeah, went on to do...
It was the first one you ever did. First webinar you ever ran.
That was the one.
And what did you, that first webinar you ever did, yep. How much did you sell on the first one? What was your first set of sales?
Well, you won't believe this because it's astonishing. The first webinar I ever did made zero sales.
I definitely believe that, right? I definitely believe that. But that's why I'm asking the question. Yeah. Because who else has attempted a webinar in this room? Raise your hands. Okay, and who also has had zero or very few sales when they first tried? Me too. Yeah. But the difference is how much you continue, isn't it, right? So what happened next? You get zero sales. How many people were on, by the way?
Oh, I'm going to be honest, I can't remember.
I
can't remember. I know I had enough that there was a buzz. I would guesstimate.
And enough to be disappointed that you sold nothing.
Well, because what actually happened, and this will get us on.
Did you have a tech issue like we just had?
No, I did not. Which I am looking at that thinking, you're left with a really strange impression. John's tied up in a field and you have no idea what happens after the end of that. Has anyone seen that ad, by the way? Oh, you have? Okay. Yeah. Just raise your hand if you've seen that ad already. You've been targeted with it? Okay, only a few of you. All right. Yeah, for the rest of you, like, this is a weird guy. But yeah, so what was the question? I've been distracted by my own ADHD. What did you
do? Yeah, so after the first one that you sold no sales. Yeah, yeah. What did you do next? And what I loved, I liked what you said a minute ago. One of the things that I'm always trying to communicate about marketing, but people are actually resistant to this communication, which you'll understand, is that marketing is about testing. And just because you run something once and you don't get a result does not mean it doesn't work. It just means you haven't, and you just said, you're trying to piece this puzzle together. And I really like that analogy. What happened next? How did you go about fixing this? And what was the process?
So I'll tell you what happened on the first webinar that gave me a false sense of security. I put this webinar together, and the idea was that I'm going to activate the law of reciprocity. We've all heard of that, have we?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, the more you give, the more you're going to compel someone to want to give back to you in return. And obviously, in this case, it's a transaction of, hey, I've provided so much value, buy my thing. So I thought, well, I'm going to activate that. So I'm just going to do a webinar where I give away the farm. I give absolutely everything, and I just provide so much value that they will feel compelled to buy my thing at the end. So I put my webinar together, and I can actually remember the training points, and I'll teach you the opposite of how I turned a webinar that did no sales into one that went on to do a million, because there's actually a very simple switch. You can activate the right thing. So I'll teach you that in just a second. First webinar I did provided just as much value as I could. I asked the live audience at the end, have you received a bunch of value? Have you enjoyed this? And I'm getting, yes, 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 amazing. Best webinar I've ever been on. And I'm licking my lips. I'm thinking, I'm going to make so many sales. It's going to be incredible. I make the offer and I'm refreshing off to the side. We've all done this, right? You're on your webinar and you're answering the questions and you're refreshing how much money you've made. And I was refreshing on a different screen and it was zero. And I said, oh, it must be a problem. But I'm still doing my Q&A. I give it 5 minutes, refresh again, and I'm feeling more and more deflated. Either I've made no sales or tech is failing me, and I'm hoping it's the tech. So I'm saving face. Long and short, made no sales. And I'm thinking, I don't even know what went wrong. You know, that's a really frustrating place to be.
Yeah.
Have any of you been in that spot where you're like, this hasn't worked, but I actually don't know why it hasn't worked? Anyone? Well, that was where I was at. And I was like, I don't even know where to go from here. So I started to study other people. I guess that's actually a quick tip in and of itself. I would honestly say I've learned more from studying what my competitors are actually doing than buying their courses and learning from them. So I've actually received a lot of value just doing that. So I would go on to Russell Brunson's webinars, and back then Frank Kern was a big deal, and Ryan Dice and other names that you may not be as familiar with. And just watching their webinars.
You still do that. So when I met you, you looked at everything that I'd done, didn't you? You're like, oh, you do, what are you doing this for? What are you doing that for? Oh, why'd you do this? You look at everything, don't you? Like,
yeah, I'm picking up on the clues, because you can, you know, it's a bit like an iceberg, right? This analogy's been overused, I'm sure, but when you just pin what you're trying to do against someone else's without going much deeper, you're just learning from them in their online course. Sometimes you only get the top of the iceberg, and you don't see it in practice. But actually, in practice, there's the whole, you know, base of the iceberg underneath. And so I want to watch the mechanics of what they're actually doing. So I started to watch their webinars. I was kind of taking ideas and piecing things together. And I started to pick up on the clues. And then a turning point for me was I heard a quote. Well, actually, it was an interview with a guy called Jay Abraham. I don't know if any of you know this chap. Yeah. He's been around for a very long time. And he was, I'm going to butcher the phrase, but I'll do my best. Something along the lines of, you will do your potential clients and yourself a disservice if you try to overteach on a webinar. And he went on to explain that the disservice that you're giving your potential clients is that you're leaving them with a false sense of security that they know what to do. You can't possibly teach your entire framework and what you do and the service you provide in the space of 60 minutes on a webinar, or you wouldn't be able to get through everything, right? So in an attempt to do so, you're leaving them with this feeling that I think I could do this. I think what I've just learned from John is enough for me to have a stab at it. So they leave, most likely going to fail because there's going to be gaps in their knowledge, and so they don't get the result. But they also didn't buy your product, which means you've done yourself a disservice as well because they haven't purchased. So by oversharing and overteaching, you actually end up with no sales, and the value you provided is quite weak anyway, and they're not going to go and get the results. Does that make sense? Yeah. So if you don't mind, should I just teach the opposite?
Definitely. The solution? Go for it, yeah.
Because the solution is what I call wow, not how content. And I'm afraid that for those of you that were on the webinar with me, I used this on you just a little bit as well. Wow, not how is an amazing concept that I've kind of tweaked and refined over the last few years. And the idea is that you teach people wow-based content not how-based content. And you, it's a bit of a paradigm shift because you've got to realize that you are providing value to your attendees. It's not a question of providing value with how-based content and providing zero value with wow-based content, but you just hope that you shackle them into a purchase. It doesn't work like that. Wow-based content is giving your audience epiphanies, teaching them things that they didn't know before, breaking down limiting beliefs, simplifying the problem that they've got so they can start to believe again that they could actually achieve said thing. And it's all about 40,000 foot view stuff. So you're teaching them stuff, yes, but it's all from a very high level so that we're not getting into the weeds. As soon as you teach an actual specific actionable strategy, then they're going to go and give that a go. But wow-based content is designed to have your audience going, wow, that makes sense. Wow, that's awesome. Wow, that's exciting. But the only logical next step is to move forward with you. Because they say, hey, I've been on this webinar with Adam, and like that was just so awesome. I feel freshly inspired. I feel motivated. I feel ready. I believe I can do it again. And the model that Adam is talking about makes so much sense to me. I've had so many light bulbs go off in my head. I don't know how to do it. And Adam's just made an offer, so maybe I'll go and work with Adam. And I'm not exaggerating when I say this. When I made this switch on that first webinar of mine for the YouTube program, at the end of the content, I asked the audience the same question. Have you enjoyed today's training? Has this been amazing? And I kid you not, I remember getting comments like, best webinar I've ever been on. Like, oh, this is amazing. Yes, 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 yes. So your audience love it. They absolutely love it. But now they have a crossroads and the decision is, do I go back to what I was doing before that is keeping me stuck, or shall I entertain this new direction that John's just painted for me so eloquently and maybe I'll work with him to get the result? If we've got time, I'll say what the switch was, shall I?
Yeah, go for it, yeah. Yeah, mate, we've got loads of time. But we were here till midnight, so we're all right. Yeah,
yeah. Well, I've got a kid to put to bed. So the original webinar was teaching people how to rank YouTube videos to get traffic, right? So I had three training points in there. First training point, I'm going to do my best to remember exactly. First training point was, what was it? Yeah, so first one, how to find keywords. So I went in and I showed them what was called the Google Keyword Planner, and I showed them how to find keywords and what to look for and all this kind of stuff. Second training point, how to put the videos together. So what equipment do you need? And what would you say in those videos to get the response? And then the third was how to get those videos to rank. So some tips and tricks on how to get those videos to the top. Did you enjoy the webinar? Yes, 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 yes. Awesome. Now, would you like to buy my program that's going to teach you, oh yeah, how to find keywords to target, how to put the videos together, and how to get to rank? I'm just doing it on a more glamorous scale. And so the response was a resounding no. No one purchased. But they left going, John's amazing. But I was thinking, John's not amazing. I've just not made any money and I've got a dying business. So the opposite, and here's what I did. First training point, why keyword traffic is so valuable. Okay, understand the switch there. First one, how to find keywords. New revised version, wow-based content, why keyword traffic is so valuable. So I'm talking to how when you get in front of someone, right when they want what it is you have to offer, that traffic is worth so much more than interruption marketing. Hey, I'm over here and you're scrolling on Facebook and here I am, versus they've literally searched for something and now they want this thing in this very moment and you present it to them. Wow, makes sense. Awesome. So I go through a few examples of that and teach them this wow-based content idea. Second one was, oh yeah, I forget how I worded it, but I essentially just built their belief that they can shoot videos and that they're simpler than they thought. So that was training point number two. Not how to record the videos, not what to say, but sharing how it can actually be simpler and easier to do, even if they are nervous about shooting video. So that was the second one. So now they're going, okay, keyword traffic sounds friggin' awesome. I believe I can do video. I didn't think I could before, but I realize now that I can. And the third one was just how much traffic is available to you.
Yeah.
When you position yourself at the very top of Google.
Enough to excite them.
So I'd give some examples of like, look at this keyword and look how much traffic they've got and the person at the top spot. And you can do some software searches and show just the volumes of traffic that they're getting when you position yourself at the top. Did you enjoy today's webinar? Yeah, amazing, amazing, amazing. Because they've learned that keyword traffic is the best. They believe they can do video and they've learned some tips on how it can be simpler than they thought, but they don't know what to say. and they've understood the power in how much traffic they can get. And then, of course, yeah, that webinar went on to do a million.
So when we say it went on to do a million, what was like, what, run it every week? Were you running?
So the first one, I've got a screenshot somewhere. A first webinar that actually worked, it was something like 30 sales on that webinar. Not yeah. 500, so 15 grand or something like that.
Yeah. How did it feel when you got 15 grand flow into the bank on that particular webinar?
Well, now it's the opposite. I'm refreshing over here and I can't quite believe what I'm seeing. I'm like refreshing and I'm like, oh my goodness, I'm rich. And I'm trying to keep my cool doing Q&A. It felt amazing. I was like, okay, I'm onto something, you know, like this is working. I'm getting this now. And yeah, it felt fantastic.
Brilliant. And you got a lot of coaching, didn't you? A lot of advice, a lot of guidance. You went over, what age did you, because you weren't you in Russell Brunson's Inner Circle at some point?
Yeah, I was.
What age were you then?
That must have been, 21 yeah. maybe?
I mean, how amazing is that somebody is going to invest 50K or whatever it was, it might have been a little bit less back then, but it's 50K now, whatever. 50K at 21 years old. How many of you wish you could go back to 21 and find 50K and invest it in how to do that? Raise your hands if you do.
I had to find it in mum and dad's purse. That's what I did.
But did anyone say, John, are you bloody mental? You're 21 years old. What are you doing?
Well, you know what? I say that in jest because my parents did help. They didn't help with that one, but they helped on the journey toward that. I must say I did have a head start because my parents were just very supportive and that does make a huge difference. I genuinely feel for those of you that don't have that same voice coming at you. Some partner, I see it with our clients, right? Like some partners are just really trying to press on with this. Sorry, some of our clients are really trying to press on with this, but their partners are not supportive, or even just your friendship circles. You go to the restaurant for dinner or to the pub and it's almost like those little comments that are made that are just almost belittling of what you're trying to do. And that can cut deep, can't it? So I feel for you. I had a really good upbringing and my parents were absolutely fantastic. So when I joined Russell's mastermind, I had accumulated that cash myself now to put that in. Don't get me wrong, sweating buckets at the thought of it. That was the first big investment I made, freaking out, made sure I was on a payment plan. I was like, gosh. But my parents had helped on the come up.
On the journey, yeah. Well,
like, you know, there was this one back when I was doing eBay. I would just latch onto an idea. I'd run the numbers. I found something that worked. And it was these old, who remembers those pull-up machines that you hook onto the door? And I was like, I found something. I went to dad. I felt like I was on Dragon's Den pitching him. Look, I found a product. Here are the numbers. Here's how much it costs me. Here's how much they sell for. And I said, but I'm buying it on Alibaba and I need to buy in bulk 1,000 units. And think about the box size that they come in, right? I've got to get 1,000 of these boxes. So I'm like, pitching this to my dad. And that must have been 17 at the time. So it's not just about the money for him. He was going, and son, where are we going to store all of these boxes? 1,000 boxes. I was like, well, maybe some up in the cupboard. We'll put some under the bed. So I hadn't thought through that process yet. But no, they were very supportive.
Oh, that's awesome. So when you did a million on this webinar, what was the period? Over a year, a bit longer? How long did that take?
That would have been a bit longer than a year because I seem to remember the first year of having that webinar, I think it was around about 300,000 that I did that year.
Yeah.
And then the second year is when we started to really scale it and do more. So it must have been probably the first 2 years, that one.
First couple of years. And then you kept on building new products, new courses, and kept on growing. What was your next one that you did?
So the next one was...
Oh, actually, how long did you run that first one for? Interestingly, because I think it's a really important concept before we go to the next one.
Well, probably about that 2 years, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, probably about that 2 years. And it was much easier then as well. I mean, it's
I know. Yeah,
you can still make these work incredibly well. Like webinars is still the backbone of what we just do. In fact, I just finished putting a new structure together for our clients that breaks down exactly what to do in a webinar. Like this is still the model that we're doing, we're teaching, we're refreshing, works incredibly well. But it's just so much easier back then because traffic was so much cheaper, right? Mm. To get a lead to register for a webinar was like 50 pence sometimes, you know, whereas now to get a webinar registered, it might be
20 quid.
Yeah, $10, 20. Mm. Well, yeah, I think in dollars because I'm international. Yeah, but yeah, $10, $20. Side note, if you don't mind me going.
Yeah, go for it. Yeah.
Sorry, I get a bit carried away. Mm. But I like this topic. It's weird how whatever constraints we currently have against our marketing, We just about make it work. So when I was getting leads for 50 pence,
so true,
I was getting a 3-to-1 return on our ad spend, and I was really happy with that.
Mm.
So I was spending 50 pence and I'm making $1.50 back. I'm like, this is amazing. But now having a webinar that would return $1.50 against a $10 or $20 cost per registrant would not cut it. But we make it work now. We spend $10 or $20 and we will return 40, 50, 60, 70 immediately on the front end. So imagine, just think this through right now. Imagine if we took the care over our marketing and maximized it and squeezed it like a lemon. Imagine we did that now, back when leads were 50 pence. We would have generated so much more revenue, impacted so many more people, reached a far wider market. Everything would have been so much better. So a principle that I teach my team and I teach my clients now is we cannot be satisfied with the current numbers of our marketing. We constantly have to be squeezing this and squeezing this, because otherwise we're going to be chasing our tail. Every time there's a new update and costs go up a bit, you're out of business. So anyway, side note, where were we?
And where I want to get to is the excellence in marketing, which I really do. It is a shame that I wasn't able to play those ads, because I will play them at some stage. And also, we just sat outside and John was showing me something new that he's created, which is amazing. It's off the chain. The amount of time, attention and effort that you put into things, like the ads that we just seen there. I was explaining to everyone in the room how really coming out of your day-to-day, focusing on excellence around your marketing, your sales or your offer, how important that is. How much time do you spend scripting, focusing, dealing on customer problems? Tell me your philosophy around your marketing. If you're going to launch a new offer, that's probably the better question. How do you look at it? How much time do you spend and what do you create?
Okay, well, There's a whole bunch of things I could say on this, so I'm just trying to decide which direction to go. Because when you understand a few core principles of marketing, I don't mean to make this sound easier than it is, because to get there is the harder part. Once you understand some of these core principles of marketing, you can just put out a first attempt at something now and it'll just work. Because it's not about a lot of the stuff that people in our space talk about. I mean, if you've heard things like, who's heard of split testing? Yeah. Okay. Nothing wrong with split testing, but split testing a button color blue and green is not a good use of a split test. For those that don't know, a split test is where you'll have your current version of your page and you will duplicate that page, make one change, and then run some traffic and split it 50-50 and see if the little change you did improves the conversion or the opposite. And then you'll go back to your control page and your test again. Testing button colors and things like that, it's such a gigantic waste of time. It's not good marketing practice. The things that you should split test are the big things. It's the headline, oftentimes, on a registration page, it's the headline. What is the copy? That's the lead copy on a page.
Let's talk about copy then, yeah. John. You know, because I think there's some good frameworks that you use for copy. How can everyone in the room draw more and actually attract more in their headline, for example, from you? What advice would you give them on that?
Well, I can give you a framework that stood the test of time, if you like. It's really quite powerful. Anyone? Would that be helpful?
Yeah.
Okay, cool. I thought I was in the wrong room.
Do you want a pen?
Oh, yeah. Should I put it up on
there? Yeah, go on, mate. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think I know what you're going to do, which is awesome, right? So,
well there's a few, but what you'll do is how can without this and imagine that flows in a headline. Okay, you're basically saying how and then who is it that you are targeting? Who are you speaking to? So for me, it's how coaches and experts, for example. So I'm just going to say who it is. I want people to land on my page. And in this busy social media environment, I want them to know exactly who I'm speaking to. So we just straight out the gate, how coaches and experts. One of our clients, his name's Fez. And he was a personal trainer, and we helped him package up his online coaching offer and build a webinar around it. And his path that he carved is for women over 40. So that was just to give it some specificity. So he'll just say that, how women over 40. This just works. It's so simple, but it works. So how, and then who is it that you are speaking to, can, and what is the main big pillar thing that they're wanting to achieve? What is it? We can overcomplicate copy, and we can overcomplicate our marketing message. What do they want? For all of you in the room, you have a service or a product or some kind of deliverable that is going to help someone perhaps solve a problem. Is that accurate of the room? Yeah? Okay, three people. Nice. So figure out what is, if you put yourself in their shoes, what's the one main thing? If you were to be your potential client avatar, what would you need to hear? What would you need to hear to go, yeah, that's me, that's what I'm after? First line was, yeah, you've spoken to me, and now you've told me the thing that I'm saying I'm wanting. Okay, so we've nailed that down. So for me, it might be how coaches and experts can attract more high-paying clients on a daily basis. Yeah? Attract high-paying clients on a daily basis, because that's what they want. Ultimately, it's what they want. There's lots of fiddly things that we need to get into. I've got a whole webinar to do that, which is a lesson in and of itself, by the way. Don't take content that's designed for later in the funnel and bring it prematurely to the front. In a sales funnel, every piece sells the next piece. Your advertisement is designed to get the click.
Yeah, totally love this, yeah.
Yeah, once you get the click, this registration page is designed to get the registration. You're not selling your product yet. You're not even talking about your product. You're not even giving a name of your product. If you offer an opportunity to book a call with you, how many of you, that's the outcome, is to speak with you on the phone and just get qualified leads, okay? Just keep your hand up. This is helpful for me to just get an understanding. Okay, cool, it's about half the room. So you don't talk about the opportunity to speak to you on the phone before the webinar. So nothing like that on the registration page, right? Nothing. Every little piece sells the next one. So what's that one main thing that they want? We'll get into the weeds on the webinar. And then without, what is something that they don't have or don't want? You need to write that down. It's really important. The without statement is, what do they want to achieve this without? What don't they have or don't want? Because if there's something that they don't want, meaning the solution that you're going to present, they're like, I don't want to do it like that. Well, if they hear something in your copy that makes them go, oh yeah, I've tried that style before, I don't like that, that didn't work for me, then we don't want to mention that. Or it's something that they don't have, right? So, I don't know, we might say something like, without an existing audience and if no one knows who you are. Because they don't have that. So if I draw attention to it, now they know he's speaking to me, he's told me what I want, and he's saying I can get what I want without these things that's bogging me down, that I don't have or don't want. So that's the framework, and there's a bunch of others, but that'll get you started, and it's really powerful. That made millions with that one headline on the front end of all of our webinars.
I mean, give him a round of applause, right? Lovely, yeah? And what I took out of that, John, which is often I've said to people again and again and again and again and again, is that you've got to sell the next step. And I think so many people confuse marketing with sales. And this is the thing. Look, John is wildly successful at this stuff, like ridiculously successful. And we're talking millions of pounds per month doing this, right? And he's saying exactly the same thing that I say to you, who is also wildly successful at this, doing millions of pounds a month. So what should you do? Do exactly what we're saying to do, right? Now, don't make it up. Don't put your own spin on it, because every time you make it up, put your own spin on it, you spin out in the wrong direction. Make sense, team? You've got to follow the process, which you know, I think is amazing, John. So look, this has led you on this journey to now launching all these different bits. And the way me and John got connected was, you got connected through Liam, who, you've been a friend of Liam for a long time, haven't you?
Yeah, a great friend now. He started as a client. We helped him with his webinar.
Yeah.
He wanted to bring his business online. And so we helped him restructure all of that stuff. Not to take credit for his whole business, because he's obviously wildly successful irrespective of that. But yeah, we helped him get those webinars up and running, and now he's just become a great friend. He's awesome.
Yeah, and he has been wildly successful as well, actually, especially online, you know, really with those webinars, did some great things. And we met, and you host an amazing mastermind where I've met a lot of people that we're both friends with, all help each other, which is amazing. Same type of community. And you do these, you know, special marketing things every year. So one of the things John does, I know there's already many people. Who's going to AdCon already? They've got their ticket for AdCon. Raise your hands if you are. Okay, so I know Piers and Wahida and a couple of others. John's got an event that I am speaking at called AdCon. What are the dates, John?
May 22nd to 24th.
And I would highly recommend that as many of you as possible get to AdCon on those dates, provided there's nothing else in.
You might be put off now that you know Adam's coming, but we can work with that.
Because, you know, you're going to hear some amazing things. Yeah, no, I know. Yeah, so we've also got the branding retreat running, but you can't get on that because it's sold out, right? So, but also AdCon is getting close to sold out as well, right? So, yeah, there is an opportunity where, do you want to talk a bit about AdCon? What was the plan with AdCon? You've run that now.
Look, AdCon's a passion project for me. Really, really exciting. I like bringing people together. You know, I think that's why me and Adam get on so well, because it's a big part of business. You know, there's levels to climb, and people becomes a big part of that. You know, the people that you connect with, the people you surround yourself with, and you will understand that's why you're here, right? You know the importance of getting around the right people and building those connections.
I want to ask you something else now.
Yeah, go on.
Before we get into that, which we definitely will get into. Can we turn the heat down a bit? It's a bit hot in here. Yeah, is anyone else hot? Yeah, I'm getting cooked. One of the things I think is really important, John, is your attitude towards competition. So your attitude towards competition is you make it your mission to be friends with everybody that is your competitor, don't you? And build relationships. How important has that been for you on the journey? And how important is that for the business owners in this room, would you say?
Well, you have to think big, right? You have to have that abundance mindset that we all talk about. We can sometimes we can cage our thinking sometimes. And we find something that's working and we think, well, gosh, I better not tell anyone about this because otherwise it will stop working for me. Respectfully, that shows how small you think your industry is and how small the opportunity online actually is. You know, I'm a big believer in let's put think tanks together, you know, let's get together, even if we're in a similar business doing a similar thing, you know, and let's share ideas, let's share what we've got going on. One of the rules in our mastermind, Adam, is, you know, no one has the only way. And we kick off the mastermind by sharing these four rules, and that's one of them. No one has the only way. Like, I've got a big business, Adam's got a big business, but when we get together, we both learn so much from each other. We find out what's working. So yeah, I'm not freaked out by competition. I'm not scared of competition. I like the challenge. You know, I'm going to go up against competition, but I'm also going to learn from them, and I'm happy to share what's working with me as well.
Yeah, and I think that's definitely something that I've recommended to everybody for many, many years. And what I love about what John did is actually you did a think tank for all the people that do eight-figure speakers that are really successful, bring them all together and get everybody to share their ideas. You know, imagine you did that for your own business. If you had all of the speech language superstars in one room and you were managing them, or you had all of the people, you know, all of the lawyers in one room and you're controlling the marketplace almost. I just think that's an incredible thing for people to look at doing. And actually, I know that AdCon is a lot like that, because you've brought all those people together. And now you're getting them to come and talk to your audience and reveal everything to your audience. So why don't we talk about a little bit about that? You've got this headline event that you do once a year. Tell us a bit about the previous AdCons. How did this AdCon idea come about? And what's it been like?
Yeah, perfect. Well, just so I know who I'm speaking to, has anyone even heard of AdCon? Anyone know what this event is?
Oh, wow. Quite a few, okay. Yeah.
So AdCon, like I was saying, is a bit of a passion project for me. I looked out on the landscape of the UK, and I don't really see any really high-class, world-class marketing events that like truly have a structure, that you actually leave with a blueprint, that every session and every day is designed to build on the previous, so that you leave with what you needed. A lot of the events in the UK, as you've probably experienced, is just a bit of a pitch fest, right? So I wanted to change that. And we did. And we used to do these events called Frontline Marketer Live. And this was pre-COVID. And then we stopped that when COVID happened. And last year, we picked it back up again. And I thought, you know what? Let's do it. Because events are really expensive. You know, we spend a lot. This ad con, I probably shouldn't say this on the recording, but this ad con cost me about $500,000 to put this event on. You know, we spare no expense. We throw everything at this to make the experience just absolutely incredible. So it's not easy to do that, you know, to have that kind of cash lying around to do an event like that. You have to, you know, anyway, it takes a lot of work. And we decided to do it last year. And anyone heard of Neil Patel?
Must have heard of Neil Patel, surely. Raise your hand if you heard of him, yeah? Oh, okay, only a few. Wow.
Okay, Neil Patel. Okay, well, this isn't going to sound as impressive as it. Neil Patel is an incredible marketer. I mean, millions and millions and millions of followers across his social platforms. Arguably the best guru, for lack of a better phrase, on the topic of Google SEO. And
yeah.
So we brought him in, flew him over, and he headlined last year, and that gave us a bit of a platform. And this year, I got a bit carried away. Every day, I'd secure another speaker, and the team tell me off because we're running our budget. But heard of Stephen Bartlett. We must have heard of Stephen Bartlett. Yeah, so Stephen Bartlett's headlining this year. So we've got him.
We've got
the wonderful Adam Stott. We've got a guy called Dan Henry, who's just a very, very smart marketer, and he's speaking. Marley Jacks, great lady flying in from America. To speak, incredible on the topic of YouTube. Heard of Ali Abdul on YouTube? Anyone? Okay, yeah, so he's coming as well. We just secured him. So anyway, I mean, the list goes on. We've got 25 speakers, and they're all an expert in their piece, and I orchestrate the whole event. I know what outcome I want the attendees to get so that they know, right, I've got everything I needed. Offer creation, client avatar, traffic, funnel, sales strategy, scaling. And we have every session is lined up for that. And it's the most fulfilling thing I do in the business, I must say. We'll do it every year and we'll just keep getting bigger and better. And it's very rewarding. If I can be so bold, and I'm maybe you know Adam as well, but you get to a certain point in business. I hate saying this because you might misinterpret. It sometimes gets a bit boring. It sometimes gets a bit boring if your business has gotten to a level of success that you're reaching the clients that you want. You've got a great team in place that handle a lot of that stuff. And we as entrepreneurs kind of itching for the next thing. Like, how can we get out there and impact more people in new ways? Because I'm kind of just bored of the same repetition over here. And so AdCon for me, that's that. I love it. I'm very protective of it. And we make it just epic. It's incredible.
Brilliant. So what were the dates for this year?
May 22nd to the 24th. And yeah, we'd love to have as many of you there as you can.
So it's a sold out event now, is it not? We got pretty much.
Yeah, it's sold out so we got general admission VIP tickets, all VIPs sold out. We closed down enrollment actually just on Friday. I said to Adam, this is terrible timing to come here and share this with you because we closed down early bird and our ticket price has now gone up. But we've closed ticket sales for the next 2 weeks because I've got to visit up to the hotel where we're hosting this, and I've got to go with the team now. And we've got to look at the tickets we've sold, arrange the room to make sure we can fit everyone in, and then we'll see how much extra space we've got. But what I said with Adam that we'll do here is not only have we opened tickets up just for today for you if you want to come, we'll give you the early bird price as well, but we've got a coupon, your name. We'll give you an extra 20% off as well. So it brings it down to something like £240. It's ridiculous. General admission, just so you know, the next tier is £400.
It's 4 days, is it? Is that right?
It's 3 days with a registration day beforehand where a lot of our attendees will come in that night before. And then, you know, you can get registered and get your goodie bag. We give just amazing merch. Just it's cool stuff. Stuff you actually want to wear, you know, just like nice stuff. And so you can get your merch bag. You can come and connect with some of the team. And if you are going to come, firstly, I'd love to see you. But secondly, if you can stay locally, I would do that. Because, you know, just think about it being all in for those 3 days. We're doing evening stuff. We have a marketing party that we do as well and lots of networking opportunities. And so you won't want to miss out on any of that stuff. We do dinners and all sorts of stuff.
And it's in Wembley, right?
Yeah, the Hilton in Wembley.
Hilton in Wembley. So what I've done with John, this will be 500 people in the room. So great networking opportunity. If you go on his website, he has now closed that opportunity. But if you do want a ticket and you want a discount, the team are going to hand out a sheet for you. And that sheet will give you a QR code, which you can just literally scan yourself a ticket, get yourself one. You obviously, I'll be speaking. Be great to have my clients there as well, because I want the loudest cheer in the room when we get in there, right? You know, Stephen Bartley or who, right? You know, I want him thinking, who's this fucking dude, right? So we want to make sure that we get that out there. But you can just scan yourself, get yourself a ticket. You get what do they need to do to put my name on it? Adam or Stop?
Yeah, I think it might be on there. Stop. Yeah, Stop. Yeah.
Just put Stop on.
I'll bring it down by
20%. You can get yourself a ticket. I highly recommend it. You know, I know it's awesome. We're going to be spending 3-4 days together with some of the top marketing people out there. And what I might do as well for clients of mine, I'll try and figure it out with David, but maybe we can do a little meet up drink or meet up little bit of food before we go into the event if you're all coming as a group with me. Does that sound good, team? Fabulous. So you've got that there.
Just one thing to quickly add. If you've got a pen, just write down on there the web address, because it's adcon.co.uk. So adcon, adcon.co.uk. Because to decide if you want to come, obviously I know some of you in the room, and we greatly appreciate this. You know, you'll just come because me and Adam have said, hey, we'd love to see you there. You know, and we really appreciate that trust. But for others of you, you might want to see the lineup and see who's actually speaking and we've got a big old page that breaks it all down. But just keep in mind that QR code is just for today. So my team will deactivate that tomorrow, because we've got to set everything back to where it was. Currently we're closed. So we've opened it for today. But have a look at that page and you can get all the details. And I'd love to see you there. And I'd greatly appreciate it. So we lose money on ticket sales. We do it for fun. You know, none of our speakers pitch as well. I'm the only one that makes an offer. This is my event.
Oh, you didn't tell me that.
Yeah,
yeah. I'm only joking.
I'm the only one that makes an offer, and that's where we make our money. Is we lose money on the way in, we make an incredible event, and then on day three, I make a very soft offer for people that want to work with us. But every other speaker, no one's pitching anything whatsoever. So you just get to sit there, enjoy, soak it up, and you will leave with a wealth of knowledge. I promise you that.
Yeah, some of the speakers that are speaking, for example, Liam is speaking as well, who's really great. Many of you know Liam. Jordan, is Jordan speaking again? No, okay, right. Jordan's great. He's not speaking. So anyway, get your ticket. Go and scan it. Get it locked in. Come and join us. It'll be absolutely amazing. We'd like to open up for some questions, John.
Absolutely.
You ready?
Yeah.
Any questions on marketing, sales, offers, coaching, anything you want to ask John? This is a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to grill him up, right? Because he never does in person, right?
Very, very few, actually, yeah. I stay in my little cave in my office, so this is fun. I'm enjoying it.
Hey everybody, Adam here, and I hope you loved today's episode. Hope you thought it was fabulous. And if you did, I'd like to ask you a small favour. Could you jump over and go and give the podcast a review? Of course, I'll be super grateful if that is a 5-star review. We're putting our all into this podcast for you, delivering you the content, giving you the secrets. And if you've enjoyed it, please go and give us a review and talk about what your favourite episode is, perhaps. Every single month, I select someone from that review list to come to one of my exclusive Academy days and have lunch with me on the day, meeting hundreds of my clients. So if you want that to be you, then you're going to be in with a shout if you go and give us a review on iTunes. Please, of course, do remember to subscribe so you can get all the up-to-date episodes. Peace and love, and I'll see you very, very soon. Thank you.